It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is a Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast. It's part two, the show that's so nice we do it twice, and it's presented by betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Just make sure you use the code PODCAST1 so you get that 50% sign-up bonus today. He is Evan Silva, the master of all he oversees at rotoworld.com, at Evan Silva on Twitter. I am just Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, just trying to soak in all of the knowledge that we get from my dude, Evan Silva, each and every week at Ross Tucker NFL, Twitter and Instagram. I got a bunch of different podcasts that I know you guys hopefully listen to. Even Money, if you like to place bets. That's my gambling podcast. Ross Tucker Football Podcast keeps you up to date with the former player's perspective on everything going on around the league on a daily basis. College Draft Podcast, if you're into the draft scene. And Andrew Brandt's got the Business of Sports podcast, which is pretty awesome as well. If you haven't given any of those a try. You know what you should give a try, by the way? These gigantic chocolate footballs from the R.M. Palmer Company. This is awesome, all right? It is a full-sized football made of chocolate. Tell me you can't think of immediately somebody that you know that would go crazy over that for a holiday gift. And you can just go, you can learn more about it at rmpalmer.com/football. But pretty much any store you go to, like Walmart, any type of, you know, grocery store, any type of pharmacy, CVS, right? They're going to have these bad boys. They're awesome. If you know someone that likes football, if you know someone that likes chocolate, it is the no-brainer of all no-brainers. You've got to do it. It's called Football Fantasy. 22-ounce milk chocolate football looks just like the real deal. And it's made in my hometown of Wyomissing, Pennsylvania. And my dad worked for him for 30 years. And it's delicious. Football Fantasy, rmpalmer.com/football. Check it out. Speaking of checking it out, Evan, only four games to break down in the late games. We'll start with the Seahawks and the Niners.
Seahawks, Niners. Yeah, these teams played a couple of weeks ago, and it was just a blowout win in favor of Seattle. But the 49ers, late in the game, kind of went like nuts, and Nick Mullins wound up finishing as the quarterback 5 on the week. That's his best fantasy finish all year. And Dante Pettis actually ripped a 75-yard touchdown in the second half to really inflate his stats. You know, we can't expect this game to play out similarly. But we do know that Dante Pettis has been great in three straight games. He's locked into the starting job opposite, actually, Kendrick Bourne, which we will get to in a second. But he's locked into a starting job with Pierre Garçon on injured reserve. And he has shown a chemistry with Nick Mullins for sure. So I think that he is the best wide receiver play on the 49ers at this point, in a locked-in wide receiver 3 play against San Francisco. I mean, he's had good games in three straight weeks against Denver, against Seattle, and against Tampa Bay. He's a really, really good route runner. 49ers loved him, traded up to get him in the second round of the draft. George Kittle, I mean, what else do we need to say? He's, you know, a top 3 NFL tight end. Chris Wessling, my old colleague at Roto World, now of NFL Network /NFL.com, thinks he's the best tight end in the league. I don't know. I think I'd go with Kelce, but I can't disagree too strongly. George Kittle is absolutely right there with anybody. In the running game, we're going to have to see if Matt Breida comes back. My guess is that he won't. Jeff Wilson, although he didn't have a ton of fantasy points last week, he did have a lot of usage. And that more often than not leads to fantasy points down the line. And he had his kind of coming out party against this Seattle team. He had 8 catches against them. That was, again, in large part because Seattle jumped out to such a big lead. But I think that if no Breida, Wilson is going to again be that solid RB2 flex play that he's really been the last 2 weeks. Marcus Goodwin came back last week from his personal absence, and he played 33% of the snaps. He played behind Kendrick Bourne. So until we see Marcus Goodwin get back into that every down receiver role, it's going to be really hard to play him in fantasy. Kendrick Bourne didn't do very much either. Nick Mullins is a 2-quarterback league starter against Seattle. With the exception of that game against Kirk Cousins, quarterbacks have been doing pretty well against the Seattle defense recently. On the other side, Wilson tore up the 49ers in this game that we've been talking about. He had 4 touchdown passes. His rushing production has been up lately. He's averaging like 38 rushing yards per game over his last 6, after averaging 11 rushing yards per game over his initial 7. So you'll like to see that. He has been a top 12 fantasy quarterback in 8 of his last 9 starts. In the receiver core, we have to see, is Doug Baldwin going to be back this week? I'm not sure. The passing game kind of missed him on Monday night. David Moore went catchless on a bunch of targets. The opportunities were there, but they just didn't land right for him. Jerron Brown was the other receiver, and then Tyler Lockett was in the slot. Tyler Lockett also came close to a bunch of big plays, but they just didn't happen. You know, the Vikings had good coverage on him, and that's why it was a low scoring game. It was 21-7. I think Tyler Lockett rips it up here. Doug Baldwin is going to be a risky wide receiver 3 coming off the injury, and you know, I mean, it was significant enough to keep him out for a game. So I would kind of lean away from playing him, even though the matchup is pretty good against San Francisco. Nick Vinette, Ed Dixon, don't want any part of those guys. They split right down the middle. Chris Carson locked in as the Seahawks feature back. Rashad Penny is the clear number 2, and then Mike Davis is the clear number 3. Chris Carson, 16-plus touches in 7 of his last 9, and 20 carries. Doesn't catch the foot. 20 catches, 20 carries last week. Doesn't catch the football, which hurts his floor. You really need him to score a touchdown. We can move on to the next one.
Next one, Steelers-Patriots, enough said.
Yeah, this is a fire the cannons game. This game has the third highest total on the slate. You know, we could probably talk for several minutes about what went on with Ben last week. The bottom line is that he is going to be playing on Sunday. I'm not worried about his health. I think he's going to be absolutely fine. He rips it up in at Heinz Field, and quarterbacks have been ripping up the Patriots. Ryan Tannehill was a top 5 fantasy quarterback last week against them. And that's, you know, not a small sample thing. Quarterbacks have been having their way with New England for the most part recently. So I think that Ben rolls. And if you look at historically, because these teams have played a good amount, you know, over the last 4 or 5 years, they've pretty much played about once a year, you know, including postseason. Ben's production has been solid. It's not has not been spectacular, but it's been solid. I think that The offense this year has been spectacular, and Juju has been spectacular. Their weapons are spectacular. And so I think that he can have he can be viewed as a high-floor, high-ceiling quarterback play against New England. I think that the way that the Patriots will try to defend the Steelers, and this doesn't mean that it will be successful, is going to be very similar to the way that they defended Thielen and Diggs a couple of weeks ago. And that was successful. But I think that we will see, like, Jason McCourty on Juju Smith-Schuster with help, and then Stephon Gilmore on Antonio Brown. I think that'll be the primary way that they defend them. You know, Stephon Gilmore has not been shut down force recently. I mean, Bryce Butler beat him for a touchdown last week. You know, we saw that game. Corey Davis just owned him a couple of weeks back. So I think that Antonio Brown can absolutely have a big game. His statistics against New England have been great, with the exception of their last meeting. So if you're just looking at box scores, you know, keep in mind that in their last game, Antonio Brown had 2 catches for 24, but he left that game early with a torn groin, and we didn't see him again until the playoff game against the Jags, where he just went bonkers against the Jags. So I no fear in playing Antonio Brown. Juju Smith-Schuster has the same amount of targets and far more production than Antonio Brown over the last six games. Both have 62 targets. Juju has 5 more catches and about 140 more receiving yards. They both have 4 touchdowns. Now, Antonio Brown attracts more coverage, for sure, but Juju Smith-Schuster has been capitalizing on that, and that's exactly what you want to see. Juju Smith-Schuster is like a fringe wide receiver one at this point. Vance McDonald, Patriots have not defended tight ends well recently. So Vance McDonald, he's got playmaking ability, and I think that he's an upside play against New England. James Washington, Ryan Switzer splitting third receiver duties right down the middle. There has been talk that James Conner might come back this week. Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette says he's doubtful. He's there. He covers the team every day. You know, other guys getting their information from agents. I don't know. You know, we'll see. I think that they should probably give him another week. And I think they can roll with Jalen Samuels. Jalen Samuels, I mean, he's not a dynamic player, but he's pretty good. He can break tackles. He catches everything. You know, he did a really good job last week in his role. He would have been far more productive. And he scored 16.2 PPR points. He was a tight end 7 on the week where you could play him at tight end. And he was a low-end RB2/flex, just like we pegged him. He would have been much more productive if Ben had been in there. I mean, Josh Dobbs came in. He was an absolute disaster, you know, and he was in there for a third of the game. So we're going to get a full slate, a full game of Big Ben. And if we get Jalen Samuels again, I think he's a lock and load RB2 against New England, which has gotten crushed in terms of yards per carry and receiving yards allowed to opposing RBs. Tom Brady, I thought he played his best game of the season last week. He did make a mental error at the end of the first quarter, at the end of the first half. That doesn't really matter for fantasy, though. You know, just cost the team a field goal and potentially the game, but it doesn't really matter for fantasy. He was the quarterback 2 on the week behind Dak. I think that he can have a good game against Pittsburgh. I think that if you look at the way that the Pittsburgh defense is constructed, you look at their strengths and their weaknesses, they can rush the passer and they can stop the run. And so, you know, let's look at how have the Patriots attacked teams like that so far this year and historically, and it's with a lot of James White. It's like a James White game. You know, it's a lot of maybe two back sets. You know, get the ball out quickly. You know, increase your use of like max protection looks. You know, we're not going to put the ball in Sony Michel's belly unless we have to. You know, we're definitely going to, use him to probe and all that. But he's not going to be the foundation of the Patriots game plan this week in all likelihood. I think James White bounces back. His playing time and his usage have been down, no question, since Burkhead and Sony Michel got healthy. But I think that he bounces back for a good game against Pittsburgh. I think that helps Tom Brady. You know, I think we're going to get more attempts out of Tom Brady this week. I think the guy that really stands out is Julian Edelman, because the Steelers love, you know, long before it became a big deal that the Steelers were using linebacker to cover Keenan Allen, the Patriots have been exploiting this for years. Go look at Julian Edelman's catch totals against the Steelers over their last three meetings. It's between 8 and 11 in every single one. And it's typically been like Lawrence Timmons. Lawrence Timmons is now long gone. But they would love to get Julian Edelman matched up on Lawrence Timmons, and they're going to do the same against, you know, Vince Williams or whomever this week. And that's going to be – I mean, this is a game where, like, Julian Edelman, I think, could catch, like, between 12 and 15 balls. He was awesome last week against Miami. They could do nothing to stop him. I think that he is an auto play in PPR. Josh Gordon against Joe Hayden. I think Josh Gordon can win this. He has been looking great recently. The Dolphins stuck Minka Fitzpatrick on him all last game. He went for 96 yards. He also had a 41-yard pass interference flag that he drew. He was ripping chunk plays in the middle of the field. Just, man, you can attack this defense with slant routes. He's been great run after catch this season, Josh Gordon. Gronk, I did not look particularly good last week, but he got the job done in the box score. Steelers have gotten killed by tight ends this year. You know, Jared Cook went for 116 against them last week. Derek Carrier had two catches for 29 yards and a touchdown. You know, and Lee Smith scored a touchdown. I mean, look, you know, we're playing Gronk. Whenever he's up, we're playing Gronk, and he's up this week. By the way, Tom Brady averaging 4 more fantasy points per game when Rob Gronkowski plays than when he doesn't. So although Rob Gronkowski is not at 100%, clearly he has been getting the job done, or he has been making a difference for New England's offense. Cordell Patterson caught a touchdown last week against the Dolphins' DB Walt Akins. Great throw by Brady. Still only ran 9 routes in the game, and he has run fewer than 10 routes in 9 straight games. Chris Hogan, 1 target, wide open in the end zone. Brady misses him. We can move on to the next one.
Next one, Sunday Night Football. It's the Rams hosting the Eagles.
Yeah, I think that this is a huge bounce back spot for the Rams. I think Goff goes nuts. I think Gurley goes nuts. Eagles can't stop the run anymore. They don't have any players left in the secondary. I mean, the Rams have kind of looked bad, you know, in consecutive games. I think that you can suggest that they really do miss Cooper Kupp. I think it's not crazy at all to suggest that. But, you know, the first one was on the road in Detroit, and, you know, they won by 2 scores. Goff did not play well in that game. Next one was on the road in Chicago, where we knew that Goff wasn't going to play well. I mean, we talked about it last week. Okay, now they're returning to sunny L.A. to face this, you know, dead Eagles team, unfortunately, I guess they still have a chance to make the wild card. I don't know, man. But they have nothing left. And I think Goff is a great, great play. I think he's underpriced in daily fantasy. This is the highest total game on the slate. Rams had the highest team total on the entire slate. Goff, Gurley, Cooks, Woods, all awesome plays. Reynolds, I think, Josh Reynolds is a real solid wide receiver three play under Gerald Everett for the first time all year. Had more snaps than Tyler Higbee last week. Eagles have badly missed Jordan Hicks in tight end coverage. And I think that Gerald Everett is in the mix as a streamer. I like Anthony Firkser better. But Gerald Everett is real close, and he would be very close behind. I'd rather play both of those guys than, I don't know, Matt Lacoste, C.J. Uzoma. On the Eagles side, I'm not quite sure what to expect. The game scarily kind of reminds me of that game in New Orleans. I do think that we have seen since that the Saints' defense is legit, has really been carrying their team lately. They haven't been doing a whole lot in the running or the passing games as much lately, and they have been doing a lot in terms of their pass rush, in terms of their coverage schemes. Their run defense has been unbelievable all year. We'll talk about that more in a minute. And I think that it's better than the Rams. But the Rams' defense has been a lot better since they got back Aqib Talib. He's a key to their man coverage system under Wade Phillips. And so I think that Carson Wentz, you know, look, the game has shootout potential, no doubt. I think that Carson Wentz, he has been a steady fantasy quarterback this year. He's been a top 13 fantasy quarterback in 8 of 10 starts. I'm sorry, 9 of 11. 9 of 11. But I think that he is a more higher variance play this week. I think that we could see a bad game out of him. I also think we could see a great game out of him. So I'm not exactly sure, you know, I think it's just higher variance is the best way to put it. The Rams have given up the 7th most receiving yards per game in the NFL to tight ends. Bodes well for Zach Ertz, who, you know, he had a slow game last week. He's very likely to bounce back. It seemed like this trade for Golden Tate has not worked out at all for the Eagles. And it seemed like last week, and one thing that it has done, it has reduced their usage of their 12 personnel package. And their 12 personnel package is like one of the best personnel packages in the NFL. And so because they, you know, acquired Golden Tate and they felt compelled to use him. I mean, they have to use him. They just gave a third-round pick for him. But they didn't feel compelled to pull Nelson Agholor off the field because, yo, they went through – hell and back with Nelson Agholor. You know, he went and saw a sports psychologist. You know, that was a big, you know, a big win for the coaching staff, really, last year to, you know, like, turn his career around. They're not benching him. They're not benching Alshon Jeffrey. So who's the odd man out? Dallas Goedert was the odd man out. You know, he stopped playing, pretty much. And then all of a sudden, last week, he started playing again. And Golden Tate didn't play as much. So it seemed like they were just like, screw it. You know, we're going back to our 12. And, you know, we're going to play Goddard. And Goddard was unreal, which he's been unreal all year. This trade for Golden Tate was bad. It has not helped the Eagles. It's hurt the Eagles. And I think, you know, although he did have that good game against Washington, and trust me, like I bought the bait, hook, line, and sinker, and I thought he was a good play last week against Dallas. He wasn't. He was a complete bust, and, you know, I don't think you can use him. I also don't think you can use Goddard because he's just not trustworthy, but I do think Ertz bounces back. It was good to see Alshon, you know, score a touchdown last week. He still only had 50 yards on 9 targets. You know, he's a touchdown-dependent dude at this point, unfortunately. Agholor can't use him either because he hasn't been productive. Running back situation, Corey Clement hits IR. I think that Darren Sproles is a really sneaky play in this game, especially if you could get him at minimum, like right around minimum price on the DFS primetime slate. You know, I think that he, could catch a bunch of passes in this game. I think the Eagles are going to be playing from behind. His snaps were way up last week. He caught a touchdown pass. And Josh Adams has not been used at all in the passing game. And I think that although you can run on the Rams, I don't think that the Eagles are going to really have a great opportunity to run on the Rams. I think Darren Sproles is the sleeper in this backfield. We can move on to the next one.
The next one, Evan, is the last one. Panthers, Saints, Monday Night Football.
Yeah, a very exciting game. I think that the Panthers or that the Panthers get slaughtered. I think Drew Brees has an unreal. I mean, the Panthers have no resistance defensively. When you can't rush the passer, you're not going to have a good defense. And they've had a bad defense all year long. You know, you can have great players. You can have great individual players. You know, and they do. They have several of them. You know, Luke Kuechly, runs down Jarvis Landry from behind last week. You know, James Bradbury's had a pretty good year. I think that they just get smashed. Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram. You know, I think that this is a Mark Ingram game. And Drew Brees, I think, has a big game against Carolina. Michael Thomas has always had big games against Carolina. They're going to use him on the interior. You know, Bradbury does not go onto the interior. Getting Michael Thomas matched up with Captain Munnerlyn, you know, that's an unbelievable matchup. I mean, I would love to see Sean Payton just say, F it, let's play Michael Thomas in the slot 90% of the time. I mean, I think that would be awesome. Captain Munnerlyn's like 5'8". Michael Thomas like 6'3". So I think that's something that they could do. I mean, they did that early in the season against Tampa Bay. Michael Thomas was like 60% slot in that game and had 16 catches for 180 yards and a touchdown. I know it's been kind of slow going recently. There have been a number of reasons for that. The primary reason is the defense. And look, you know, that's your threat. That's your concern for the Saints offense, is that the defense plays well enough that the offense just doesn't have to do as much, but the matchups are all good. You know, the complimentary pass catchers are just shots in the dark every single week, you know, whether it be, you know, one of their three tight ends that they use, or, you know, Traquan Smith or Keith Kirkwood or, you know, Austin Carr or, you know, whatever. These guys are not like reliable fantasy options, especially when they're not throwing as much, you know, with behind Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara. I mean, there's just not enough volume for anyone to have sustained bankable production in the passing game. On the other side, Cam Newton's arm is, you know, it is deteriorated. It's getting worse, I think. This happened to him last year. And, you know, he may need off-season surgery. He has admitted that. At the same time, like, that has had positive effects on some players. Last week it was Ian Thomas, caught a bunch of short passes. It doesn't hurt Christian McCaffrey at all. Christian McCaffrey's probably not going to be able to run on the Saints, because no one really runs on the Saints, because they have one of the best run defenses in the NFL. But I do think that he can have a good game in the passing game. And, I mean, you know, he just has good games every week because he never comes off the field and he scores a lot of touchdowns and he's really good. Wide receivers, the pecking order has kind of sorted itself out. Devin Funchess is the number four receiver now for Carolina. The beat writers think he's done there. Had an opportunity at a touchdown last week, didn't get his head around. He's not usable in fantasy at this point. DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, these are your one and your two. The matchup is not a gimme at all against Marshawn Lattimore. And Eli Apple, coming off his best game, I tweeted out from Nick Underhill, of the New Orleans Advocate, great read about how they defended the Buccaneers last week. You should go check that out. I think that DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel are risky wide receiver three plays, but they are the clear one and two in Carolina at this point. Cam, you know, can we play Cam? I don't know, man. I mean, I've played him every single week in one of my leagues, the one season-long league where I have him, and I'm going to look at alternatives. I haven't decided yet. We do have 32 quarterbacks at our disposal this week. There are going to be guys we can get off our waiver wire. And this is not, you know, the great matchup that it looked early in the season against New Orleans. So, yeah, I'm considering streamers. I'm definitely streaming over Aaron Rodgers from the early games that we talked about on the first show. And I'm looking at him over Cam. Good luck to everyone this week.
Excellent, excellent stuff, Evan. As always, you are the best for a reason. And you know what? I've told you this before. I'll tell you again. There are people that take your breakdowns of the games and game flow and use that information to go to betonline.ag and use the promo code podcast1 to place their bets. I told you about the guy that emailed me who's in first place right now in the Westgate Super Contest, and he says your feast, because like the one week, I think, Evan, we did it a little bit later, he said the Fantasy Feast is a must-listen for him for betting purposes, which I thought was interesting. I didn't know that. I always just think everybody listening is for fantasy purposes. At any rate, go to betonline.ag if you're going to place bets and use the code podcast1. BetOnline.ag, code podcast1. And I got to stop talking. My voice is killing me. Evan, you're the man. Please, if you get a chance, go ahead and rate and review the show. Really, really helps us. As well as when you guys just retweet it, it's awesome. Just retweet it or on Facebook, facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. Follow me there. Be a friend of mine there and like it. It's huge when you guys do that. Anyway, we're done now for good. I'm serious. We're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.